for someone listening to this message, it is the commencement of a journey to destiny. For someone else, it is a confirmation. For yet another, it is a continuation of a journey to destiny. As you listen to the senior pastor, Daystar Christian Center, Pastor Sam Adeyemi, the word will work wonders in you and for you.
So let's read Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, and we'll start from there. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. Let's go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. I'll title this Principle-Centered Action. Principle-Centered Action. So we're unlocking the success code from that verse. We've spoken about the book, which is about information, that God values information, and if you want to succeed God's way, you must value information. We spoke about the law. The God of the Bible is a God of principles. You must value principles and build your life on them. Gives you stability, makes success predictable for you. We spoke about your mouth, the creative power in words, and how you literally change levels when you change your vocabulary. We spoke about meditation. Because it says we should meditate day and night. And if God says you should do something day and night, it must be important. Meditation, our opportunity to interact with the spiritual world and to download visions, dreams, and divine instructions. So today, we're discussing action that you may observe to do. There is a critical place for action. Isaac Newton did his research and gave us or discovered some of the laws of motion. And one of the things he said, when you paraphrase it, because he said an object will continue in a particular state until an external force is applied. Or simply put, an object will remain at a state of rest until a force is applied. In simple English, things don't move themselves. If you see anything on this planet that is moving, there's a force that is moving it. And that teaches us something about life. Things don't happen by themselves. This building did not create itself. It didn't just happen to be. It was created. A beautiful career or a successful career doesn't just happen. It's created. A successful marriage doesn't just happen. It's created. Things don't happen by themselves. They are made to happen. And that should influence our approach to life. It's good for you to have a dream, but dreams don't fulfill themselves. People turn them to reality. So, one of the major differences that's been observed between parts of the world that develop and the ones that don't develop is the fact that in the parts of the world that develop, a major part of their worldview is the fact that they believe that the world is a place that they can conquer, that they can control through deliberate effort. Most of the parts of the world that are not developed, interestingly, rest on the worldview that the world is a place that is controlled by overwhelming and invisible forces. So they don't, you will notice they don't plan long time. They don't see the point in planning. When these forces will come and disrupt your plans. And they do not realize it's an abdication of responsibility. Because in Genesis chapter 1, God said, we're creating man in our own image and they will have dominion. And God blessed them. Genesis 1:28. And said, be fruitful. Not receive fruitfulness. Be fruitful. Multiply. You multiply. You replenish the earth. He said, and subdue it. Which means to bring into subjection by force. Compel it to work for you. He said, rule over it and have dominion. So, if you're going to succeed God's way, you can't afford to be someone who waits for things to happen. Some things will happen that you won't like. You've got to be someone who makes things happen. Don't wait for things to happen to you. Happen to things. I like to put it that way. Happen to things. The process of shaping your world is what we call work. When you wait for things to happen to you, eventually you will do something, but what you will do will be a reaction. And sincerely speaking, that's the default mode for many people. Reacting. Reacting. But God didn't design us to react. He designed us to act. Or he didn't design us to be reactive. He designed us to be proactive. So when you learn to dream or to download instructions or dreams from God and to make the first move, you seize the initiative. You seize the initiative. That's being proactive. And Jesus taught us in Matthew chapter 5, even when other people try to seize the initiative and do something to you, that you can refuse to react and choose from your own vision to act in a different direction. That's why he said when someone slaps you, don't slap the person back. Because the person, if you do, the person has seized the initiative on your life. The person is controlling you. Deciding what you do when it was never designed to be that way. So he said, if someone therefore slaps the right cheek, rather than fulfill the person's script, turn the left one. To show the person you are not in charge, I am, with God's cooperation. Don't live your life as a reaction. Be proactive. God wants us to take action. Good. If you're going to operate on that plane, therefore, let me give some little pieces of advice. One, to move things on this planet, you must first be able to move yourself. To move things, you must be able to move yourself. To get yourself to do what you need to do. If it's a phone call, move yourself to pick the phone and to make the call. If you need to go somewhere, you have to be able to move yourself to go somewhere. That's overcoming inertia, the force that wants to keep you in the same place. We call this self-discipline. Self-discipline. Nobody succeeds without self-discipline. The ability to make yourself to do what you need to do when you need to do it to get the results you want. Develop the ability to move yourself. You can't conquer the world until you have conquered yourself. So that's why it's important for you to love work. Work is not bad. It's your opportunity to unleash your potentials, to create, to shape the world the way you want it to be. To move other people or to move things, you've got to be able to move yourself. Overcome procrastination. Get yourself to do it when you need to do it. The second thing, act with courage. Act with courage. And I'd like to show you something there from Joshua chapter 1, verses 6 to 9. You see, Joshua 1:8, which we've been discussing, is sliced in between some verses. And I want to give us the complete picture. Joshua 1 from verse 6. This is God speaking to Joshua. He said, "Be strong and of good courage. For to these people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." Verse 9. "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Amen. What's the prominent word there? Courageous. Courage and courageous. Courage and courageous. Be strong and of good courage. I like verse 7. Only be strong and very courageous. What is courage? Acting in the presence of fear or danger. Acting in the presence of fear or danger. So God is saying to Joshua, get ready to act in the presence of fear or danger. Some of the instructions I'm going to give you are going to put your life at risk. Put your reputation at risk. Put your health at risk. Okay? There's going to be the risk of failure or the risk of criticism. So be strong and very courageous. Joshua, it will have to be your lifestyle to be acting in the presence of fear or danger. Yeah, fear. That word. Major reason why many people fail. In fact, the major fear that stops people from succeeding is the fear of failure. What if it doesn't work out? You're asking the wrong question. What if it works out? One good thing you need to know is that the people that you consider to be successful all feel fear. Everyone feels fear. It's just that some people act in spite of their fear. So they know there's fear. They know there's a possibility of failure. But they and the fear move forward. They carry the fear with them. So we will go ahead all the same. Especially when it is God that is showing you what you should do. You take fear out of the equation, courage loses its definition. I don't need courage to kill a mosquito. Or a cockroach. Some people need courage to kill a cockroach. So, if you succeed in doing it, then you should congratulate yourself and buy yourself a drink. Be strong, God said, and very courageous. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7 says that God has not given us the spirit of fear. 2 Timothy 1 7. That God has not given us the spirit of fear. One translation says the spirit of timidity. You and God can't be cowardly. The presence of God should drive away fear. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. act with courage. Someone said, when you act boldly, unseen forces will come to your aid. The next thing, very important, is that you act on the written word. You see, act on the word. That's what Joshua 1:8 actually is saying. That's what God was saying. He said, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. So what God is asking you to do is principle-centered action. There are two dimensions to this. First, act on the written word. Two, act on the spoken word. Act on what God has written already. He said that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. Well, not to bore you, you can summarize all that is written in it. Because when they asked Jesus, which is the greatest commandment, what did he say? Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. He said, on these two hang all the law and the commandments. Good. So walk in love. And sincerely speaking, it takes courage to love. It takes courage to love. You know, some people say, okay, Jesus said if they slap the right cheek, I should turn the left one. So what if the person slaps that one? What should I do? Someone said, well, Jesus didn't say what you should do after that, so it's up to you. In other words, you should just give the person the two at the same time. Bah! What you sow is what you reap. So some people use that as excuse to be violent as Christians or to revenge. Jesus was not expecting someone in their right sense to slap you the second time. And even if they do, you can maintain your position as the one that is spiritually superior. That's it. See? The one I'm describing takes courage to do. That's why only few people do it. If you're going to succeed God's way, it takes courage. It takes courage to love people who are unlovable. To love people who can't return your love. Any fool can gossip. It takes courage to refuse to gossip. If you walk up to me and you want to gossip about someone, I tell you, hold it. Can you say what you are telling me now in the person's presence? If you can't, just zip it. I can't be a partner to gossip. It's not Christianly. It takes courage to forgive. Any fool can keep hatred. It takes courage to celebrate someone else's success when you are not even, you don't seem to be succeeding. Anybody can be envious. So, do the written word. It takes courage to love your wife when she's nagging you and insulting you. So, we take the easier part. So, the point is, okay, so if she insults me like that, and I don't give her back, won't she think I'm stupid? She'll think I'm a fool. She'll do it again. No, you are not making room for God in the whole equation. That's a problem. You're not making room for God. It takes courage to give. You know, I was sharing last week about how in Genesis 22, I saw a revelation of how God swore over Abraham. And I said, God, swear over me. At a time when I had no job and the future looked so uncertain. I said, if you swear over me, then I'll be sure the future will be okay. And he said, fine, can you do what Abraham did? I said, oh. I said, fine. There's nothing I will ever have that you can't have at any time T when you need it. And then he gave me his hope. There's nothing I have I won't give you when you need it. to fulfill your purpose. And that resolved for me the issue of prosperity forever. Then the next salary, when I got a job, he said, drop your salary. Ah. The whole family depends on this salary. Drop it. It took courage to do it. So, act on the written word. Then act on the spoken word, the specific instructions that he gives you. We call that the Rhema. God's word to a specific person in a specific situation. It takes courage. Act on the word. See, the amazing thing is when you cultivate the habit of obeying God, it will build your faith from one level to the other because, sincerely speaking, you will experience divine intervention. You will experience God. God will move from being the God that the pastor spoke about to the person you experienced. Because I've had encounters with God. When we were searching for a property many years ago, and they brought me here, I loved the place. And I said, how much is it? They said, 650 million naira. I said, ah. Life is in phases. Men are in sizes. So when you ask for the price of something, you will know whether it's your size or not. And if it's not, you move on, isn't it? So that was why. Because it was with faith that we were trusting God for a property of 200 to 250 million naira. We didn't have that. That was going to be a faith project. And now you said 650. Thank you, Jesus. So, we were about to move out when I said, guys, can we pray? Lord, is there a connection between this place and our destiny as a church? Show us. Show us the way. And we left. And some 2 or 3 days later, early in the morning, I was having my devotion, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me. Go for it. Go for it. And you must not take a loan. Thank you. He was compounding my problem, isn't it? He wanted to do it in a way that there would be no doubt he did it. So the long and short of it is, the day we signed the papers, it's remarkable. Because we agreed, you know, we made a proposal and we were dragging it for like 3 months. But eventually the sellers agreed. So what we were trusting God for before, for the whole project, was what we put down as deposit, 200 million naira. And by the time we were to pay it, it was there. So the day we paid, dropped the draft or the check, and, you know, signed. When I got back home, then it was like I had been drunk. And now everything cleared. So I got back home, and it was like, ah? What did I just do? 425 million naira. Jesus. 425 million naira. The agreement was to pay 15 million naira, the balance of 225 million, 15 million every month for 15 months. And gratefully, we did. That's history. Listen, so the first time we brought our workers and leaders here, it was somewhere at the back there because it was a bare warehouse. So we brought everyone to see it, and we prayed. So after, one of our pastor's wives walked up to me and said to me in Yoruba language, sir, Eliyahu, you are courageous. Why? Because even she knew that it was beyond our size, but not beyond God's size. Someone say amen. Good. So, someone who sees that, their first assessment is, they must have a lot of money. People make a lot of mistakes. It wasn't a lot of money. It was a lot of faith in God. Enough to act on what God said we should do. When you walk with God, you look like someone who is very smart. But it is God's brain you are leveraging on. Thank you, Jesus. See? Israel gets to the border of Canaan. God says, approach the giants. Take them down. Then they run away. We cannot. It is not possible. Giant, giant, giant. Didn't God see the giants before he told you to go there? But if you read carefully, God had told them, I will drive them out from before you. So spiritually speaking, the giants were finished. So why did God leave them there? To share the feeling of victory with you. If he killed all of them and you met only dead giants, you won't know how victory feels. And he wants to share that feeling with you. Spiritually, he has finished the giants. What's he expecting you to do? When he says, go, carry your small sword. Well, God wants you to just show up. The technology is using is too sophisticated for your brain to unravel. So he's not going to disturb your brain with the details. Just show up and do what he tells you to do. So you take a small thing like that. You remember the day David faced Goliath? That Goliath was really amused. 40 days, he had asked them, bring out a man that will fight. The day someone showed up, it was a teenager with a catapult, a sling with stone. So when David showed up, you remember what Goliath said? He said, am I a dog that you should approach me with sticks and a sling and a stone? Look at this boy. I said they should bring me a fighter. You know, I think he must have been amused like he was watching a Nollywood movie. Yeah. What's this boy going to do? He said, he caused him and began to move towards him. And they said, David ran towards him. That's a man of faith. It wasn't only him. It was him and God. He ran towards Goliath. If you are going to fulfill your destiny, you will have to get ready to run towards giants. Ran towards him, stopped at a point, picked his catapult or his sling, took a stone from the pouch, and was doing like this. The guy must have been wondering, what's wrong with this boy? Pew! And from that point, David had done his own. God took over. Only one small spot in the head, and like a laser-guided missile. Maybe an angel must have gone behind that thing and pushed it through. It was enough. As small as it was, just throwing a stone, it was enough for God. Stop cheating yourself. Act on what God said. When God said, face the giant, all he wanted you to do, take your thing, do like this. Angels will take over from there. Amen. You swing the thing, 200 giants fall down. I'm telling you, when you experience God on that dimension, it's difficult to backslide. If you backslide, you will front slide back very quickly. Repent of your sins. You remember David's prayer? Oh. When you have tasted grace, you don't want to live your life any other way. When you've struggled, I've struggled to get money before. Try, crack your head, crack, till you have a headache. That's not it. It's God's grace. One simple instruction from God can change your financial situation. Peter and his friends toiled all night, they got nothing. One instruction from Jesus, launch out into the deep, throw your net for a catch, and fish. Was it not the same fish they were looking for before? Where did they come from? And fish rushed into the net, and they were going to pull him overboard. It's not as difficult as you think. And like I tell people, the fact that you've not seen it is not proof it doesn't exist. It's just avoiding you. So you take one small step in obedience to God. You get big results. And then to people who are around you, you look very smart. That's my story. I believe it. Someone here, the story of your life just changed. Because there's someone who's been asking God for instruction. The reason why he's not giving you is the last one he gave you, you've not done anything with it.
Some of us, there are many things we're asking God to do that they are not his business. Because some of us think prayer is a good opportunity for us to delegate back to God what we're supposed to do. I'm serious. Lord, do it. Do it. Do it. Ah, Amy. There are things God is to do. But have you noticed? He will never do for you what he has given you power to do for yourself. Never. He won't breed for you. If you refuse now to eat, he will watch you like this. When you die, angels will carry you and take you to heaven. If prayers did everything, why haven't prayers constructed the Lagos-Ibadan Expressway? As long as you can live with it, God will say, enjoy it. So today, as someone commits, and listen, when you take action, you must be persistent. Once it is God that has shown you, this thing is done in the realm of the spirit. In the physical, you must not give up until it matches the vision God gave you. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that heaven moves on your behalf today.
Amen.
One phone call will change your status.
Amen.
One letter or proposal will change your status.
Amen.
Forgive. You obey that. Miracles can happen. So I pray in the name of Jesus that as you obey God and you cultivate the habit of acting on the word, the written and the spoken one, I pray you will enjoy angelic intervention.
Amen.
You will touch a rock. The whole rock will move for your sake. When you touch something, heaven will touch it on your behalf.
Amen.
Things will move bigger than your capacity.
Amen.
You will attract and handle resources beyond your capacity.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I pray for the person present who says, Pastor, pray with me. My relationship with God is not even okay in the first place. Yes, all of us were born sinners. And sin is our greatest problem. But the day we ask God to forgive us, what Jesus did on the cross dying for our sins is activated on our behalf. Can I ask you, if you're that honest person, to please put your hand on your heart. I want to say a short prayer with you. God bless you, Pastor. I want God to forgive me my sins. Please put your hand on your heart. Or perhaps you've been a Christian before, but you've backslidden into sin. You want to rededicate your life to Jesus. Can you also put your hand on your heart? We're going to say a short prayer together, but it's a life-changing prayer. If you're watching on the internet, please also put your hand on your heart if you want to be a part of this prayer. If you're right here, or in the overflow, your hand is on your heart, or you know you should be a part of this prayer, can you please stand by your chair where you are? We'll be done in 1 minute or less. Can you please stand? I should let you know one major principle of success. It is your decision, not your condition, your decision that determines your destiny. Once you make up your mind like that, heaven moves on your behalf. As you stand up right now, heaven is moving on your behalf. Your life will never remain the same. It's a major reconstruction. And it's good you start the new year in a new way. If you're standing, please say this prayer after me. Dear God, I believe that Jesus paid for my sins. I ask you to forgive me and to accept me as your child. Thank you for hearing me. In Jesus' name. Let me pray for you. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for our brothers and sisters who are standing, and thank you because their sins are forgiven. We're grateful for the miracle of changing their lives today. And we pray, Lord, that you help them to know you personally and to love you and serve you the rest of their lives. In Jesus' name.
We believe that the wonders of the Word of God have begun. For additional information, call 01793-7415 or 01815-1435 or email us at contactus@deshtarng.org.
Join us for any of our four services at 7 a.m., 8:30 a.m., 10 a.m., and 11:30 a.m. at Plot A3C, Ikosi Road, Oregun, Lagos, Nigeria. You could also visit our website at www.daystarng.org.
Or watch the church service at www.daystarng.tv. You are destined to succeed. You will succeed.